He's got it. You know, and Jesus said, all things belong to you. All things are yours. Whatever the Father's given me, I give unto you. So come on, let's get our minds up. God is a great God. I want to thank the Lord again for allowing me to stand before your before his people this morning. Thank God for, first I want to thank God for Jesus. I thank him for his blood. Because without the shedding of the blood, there would be no remission of sin. I thank you, Lord, for doing it. He gave up his blood. It wasn't by accident. It didn't spill. He poured it out himself. And I just thank him for the blood, because I know that through the blood there is power, power of healing, power of deliverance, power of salvation. I thank him for his blood this morning. I thank God also for my wife, my children. I thank brother and sister Vicky for just coming in and just starting to work. You know, they came in and they just working. Every Sunday they here doing something in this church. And we thank the Lord this morning for blessing Brother Joe, teaching us in Sunday school. I'm just eager to sit more up under him and learn some things. I thank the God for bringing help. I just want to thank him for bringing help. I've always prayed and asked God, Lord, send us some help. You know, send us some help. He sent us some help. And so a lot of times you think that when you ask God, when I ask God for the help, I'm thinking it's going to be in a younger person or something like, but I say, Lord, thank you for sending this elder. You know, because, you know, a lot of young people get in trouble when they conversing with one another, just like Rehoboam and Jeroboam. You know, they went and conversed with them young men instead of consulting with the elders. We got to have some elders around us now. Huh? I don't know everything. You know, I don't know a fourth or eighth of anything. Paul said, if any man think that he knows something, he knows nothing. And so I thank God for sending this man in my life, somebody that I can talk to. I've always been surrounded by a church full of women. I've always been surrounded in this church, a church full of women. And, you know, tried to get Brother Ryan to come in. Brother Ryan came in, you know, but God is doing what he said he would do. He's sending us to help. And I just thank him. And also I want to thank God for my pastor again. I just thank her for what she's done for me just by the life that she lived. You know, I mean, she is truly a shepherd after God's own heart. And I just thank God for it. And I know God is going to raise her up. This too shall pass. Just like everything, this is going to pass. God going to raise her up. And she come back, I know she's going to be on fire. So she's going to be on fire for God. So y'all put your seatbelts on. You know, get ready. Get ready, as T.D. Jakes said, get ready, get ready, get ready. She's going to have something, boy, to tell you when she come back. And I'm looking forward to her. So keep her up in prayer. We're going to be talking about Joseph this morning a little bit. Genesis 37 and Genesis 50. Just want to try to encourage you, you know, through the word of God. And I thank the Lord for Brother Derek's testimony. It encourages me. You know, I've often was a young man, always dreamt, always wanted my own business. You know, I started out there with my own business. I quit. God blessed me to have two crews working for me. And, you know, I had to go back to work. And he called me to ministry a long time ago. But as the time progressed, I felt like he was pulling me closer and closer to come out for what I want to do. You know, because I had dreams, man. I had things set up, you know, the way that I wanted to go. And, man, I tell you, I've told you all this before. A guy told me, he said, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. And, man, I looked up and I said, Lord, I've told you all my plans. But not once have I asked you what you got for me. What's your plan for my life? You know, and that's where I am now. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What's your will? How many want to be in the will of God? And I want to be in the will of God this morning for the rest of my life. Heavenly Father, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you, Father God, for allowing me, God, to stand before your precious people, Lord. I thank you also, Lord God, for allowing me to stand in the stead of our pastor, your servant, oh God. I thank and praise you right now, God, for your mercy and your grace, God. I ask, God, that you would look up on her this morning, God. I ask that you would touch her, God. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would raise her up, Father God, and what the devil meant for evil. God, we know when we believe that you're going to turn around, God, and work it out for her good, Lord God. And God, you know her heart, God. And we know, Father God, that you promised to give us the desires of our hearts. And I just pray, Father God, that you would keep her encouraged. Lift her up, God. Strengthen her, God, where she has been weakened. Build her up, God, where she's been torn down, Father. And as, God, I go into this word, God, I pray, God, that you would use me, speak to me, and speak through me, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray. Amen. Give God one more good praise offering. Hallelujah. We all know the story of Joseph, how he went through some things. I mean, some horrific things Joseph went through with his family. You know, his brothers hated him and they did him wrong. And man, I tell you, I don't see not one time in here that this man, well, at the time a boy, you know, complained, cried out or nothing against his people, but he stood fast and he maintained his integrity and kept his dignity and believed God. And so I'm going to be reading Genesis 37, starting at verse 23. And I believe God is raising up some Josephs. He got to have some Josephs in times like these. I tell you, these are perilous times. You know, things are just getting bad out there. But they don't look too bad to Jesus. They don't look bad to God at all. It's right on time for God, right for the picking, as they say. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brother that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was made for him. He had this coat that his father made for him. And the Bible says that his father loved him so that he made this coat of many colors. And what I found out that this coat of many colors meant favor, you know, because he said he loved this child more than he loved his other children, which is not right. You know, you love one of your children more than you love the other ones, or you love them the same. You know, this man was just expressing in so many ways, with all these colors, you know, different ways, how much he loved his child. And we can do the same thing often, and we can sometimes express so many ways that we love somebody. I remember one day I was just thinking about my wife and said, Lord, what can I do for this woman? You know, I don't know what to buy her. She got everything she need. I don't know what to buy when her birthday come. I don't know what to do, you know, but we go out to eat. I'm saying, Lord, what can I do for this woman? And so I got this idea from her a while back. And so I thought, to express my love to my wife, I thought, out this whole month, Lord, I'm going to go and get her a rose on my way home and take it home and give her a card. And I did that for 30 days. And each day, first day was one rose. The second day was two roses, three, all the way up to 30. And that meant something to me, and it meant something to her. And even though I did that's nothing compared to how God loves us. He expresses his love over us all kinds of ways. With jobs, you know, how he keeps our children, how he keeps the love between the husband and the wife. You know, God expresses his ways, his love over us all kinds of ways. He said, I loved you with an everlasting love. And God loves us more than we think, more than we know, how much he loves us. And so this father, he had made this coat of many colors to express his many ways that he loved his child. And they took him, the Bible says, verse 24, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And it was an empty pit. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lift up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead at their camp, and with their camels bearing spicery and balm, myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brother, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be up on him. For he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchant men. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph to Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and a kid, and killed a kid of the coat of a goat. Y'all forgive me. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy sons or not. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast had devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent into pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Here it is. They despise and come up with this plan to try to kill this, their own brother. And one of the brothers, Reuben, saved his life. Said, no, it's not good for us to put our hands up on our brother. And so they thought that we're going to sell him, get rid of this dude. They tired of this guy. They ain't got so tired of him to where they, you know, put him in a pit. Pit was empty. And they said, let's sell him off to Egypt. And we'll tell daddy that somebody, a lion or something came and killed him. And let me get on down to where I'm trying to go here. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. And there was no water in it. They didn't hear him crying out, you know. He probably was pleading for his life, but I can't remember reading that in the Bible. And sometimes it's good to cry, but sometimes it ain't good to cry. Sometimes God wants you to just go through what you got to go through, you know, because we got to realize that in this life, Jesus already said that we're going to have tribulations. You know, on this side of the grass, we're going to have tests, we're going to have trials. You know, it's good to cry, but make sure that your cry is the right cry. Don't be crying in despair. Don't be crying as if though God is not there with you or for you. David said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of a hoary pit, out of the miry clay. David said, and he set my feet up on a rock, and he established my going. Sometimes God allows you to get in a place to where you cry out to him and he hear you, and God going to point you in a direction after he deliver you the way that you're supposed to go. And now here it is. They sold him to some merchant men. They delivered him out, sent him to Egypt. Joseph probably didn't want to go to Egypt. He knew what was going on in Egypt. You know, Egypt represents sin. You know, how many want to go back to where you came from? How many are looking to go forward? This ain't the way that I want to go. I don't want to go back to sin. I don't want to go back to Egypt. God trying to, he trying to promote you. He trying to send you forward. But the devil always in it to trying to keep you from what your destiny is, trying to keep you from going where God has appointed you. And so whatever the devil had on his mind, God already had a plan in his mind. And he said, Paul writes to the Hebrews and he said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. And God is telling us that he's going to recompense. He's going to compensate. He's going to reimburse. Joseph didn't know anything about him finna be the second man in Egypt. You know, Joseph just concerned about what he was going through right now. Sometimes we just concerned about what we're going through right now and not where God is trying to take us. You know, he said, look, I'm going to recompense. I'm going to give you your reward. You know, and sometimes we look for it in a check form. We look for it in money. But sometimes your reward, your recompense is God saving your household. Sometimes it's God healing your body. Because money can't heal your body. Money can't buy your love. Money can't buy salvation. You know, God said, I'm going to recompense your reward. He said, cast not away therefore your confidence. Put your confidence in the Lord. Put your confidence in Jesus. Because it has great, 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 great reward. Let's go to Genesis 50. God is trying to take us somewhere. And I want to go wherever he leads me. Sometimes it don't look good. Sometimes it don't feel good. But as long as you know that you in God's hand, you in good hands. It don't feel good sometimes. Always been, you know, it don't feel good being in the potter's hand. And I don't know if you know anything about a potter, but I don't know too much about it either. But what I've seen, what a potter does to a vessel, how he makes a vessel, it starts off with a lump of clay, a lump of nothing. No shape, no form, no nothing. And once that potter starts pumping that wheel, you know, now today they got things electric now, and you ain't got to pump no wheel. But back then they had to pump that wheel, and that clay just started to spin. And that clay started to spin, that potter just started to shape and mold. But it don't feel good. You ever see it when they put that water on there and that thing get the spinning around and get the pressing on it, squeezing on it? That's like God pressing on you and squeezing you, trying to make you and take you to where he wants you to go. It don't feel good in the potter's hand sometimes. It just don't feel good. But God is working things out for you. God is going to make you what he wants you to be. And so he said in Genesis 50 and 17, I'm going to start at 15. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. Why would he hate his brothers? And he said, Joseph going to hate us because they remember all the dirt that they did to Joseph when he was a boy. They thought about killing him. They talked bad to him, stripped him of his coat that his daddy made him. And they did Joseph, but when we see Joseph prevention, he going to hate us, you know. Oh, my God. Some people feel like God hate them for the things that they've done wrong. God don't hate you. God loves you. God hates sins, but he hate what we do. That's what he hate. He said, prevention, he's going to hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we had did unto him. Sometimes we feel like that we know we deserve to get it. Lord, I'm not worthy of these blessings. I'm not worthy. You need to be whooping my behind right now. You need to be tearing me up right now, God, because of what I did. You know, they just feel like Joseph was going to tear them up when he said, man, we can't go back and stand before Joseph. We can't do that. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee. Now, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brother and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee forgive the trespass of the servant of thy, of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Verse 18. And his brethren also wept and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. That was that dream that Joseph had back then, when he said that they was going to bow down, and the moon and the sun was going to bow down. Mom and daddy going to bow down before me too. You know, but they didn't understand it. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God? That's what he's saying. Fear not. Am I in the place of God? I can't judge you. I can't whoop you. I can't condemn you. I'm just going to love you. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring the pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph said, but as for you, you thought evil against me. So many people think evil against you, think to do you harm. But God always got your good intentions. He always got your good intentions. So he said, look, y'all thought it was evil to come against me. The devil meant it for your bad. But God is going to always mean it for your good. God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace to give you an expected end. Peace when you're in your pit. Peace when you're in your sick bed. Peace when you're on your job, people getting on your nerve. Peace when you're walking alone, you don't feel like, Lord, I'm going in the right direction. God is going to be there to give you your peace. God promised to give us an expected end. So without the God of peace, you can't have no peace. You can't have that expected end. He said all of that God still commend his love toward you. God commends his love. Why we were yet sinners, Paul said. Why you were yet sinners. Why you weren't doing right. Why you weren't thinking right. Why you weren't living right. Why you weren't talking right. He commended his love toward you still. He said, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. Ain't nobody got to tell me how to think toward my people. Ain't nobody got to tell me how to think toward my wife, my children. I know the thoughts that I think toward them. Sometimes she be wondering what I'm thinking anyway. I'm thinking good toward you. I'm thinking peace toward you. God is thinking good toward us. It don't make no difference what the devil throws at us. God is still working it out for our good. And here he comes, another promotion from God. When you're in a place where you feel like you're all alone, nobody's there, mama ain't there, husband ain't there, wife ain't there, nobody there but God. God wants you to look up. He wants you to keep your head up and look up, because your Redeemer draweth nigh. It's real close to you. It's right there with you. It's nigh you, even in your mouth. He said, all you got to do is just speak that word. All you got to do is just speak the word of faith, and it shall be. We got to speak the word of God. It's got to be living in us. First, you got to abide in the word, so that the word will abide in you. Oftentimes, we don't know what to say because it ain't nothing in us to say. We got to get the word in us, saints. We got to study to show yourself approved, as Paul told Timothy. And so he said, so the devil meant to destroy Joseph. The devil meant to destroy you. The devil meant to strip the favor and the love of God from you. He chose you over everybody else. Why did the devil choose you? Why won't the devil mess with nobody else? Because he sees where God is trying to take you. He sees the promotion God trying to give you, not just on your job. The devil sees the promotion that he's trying to give you with your neighbor. He's trying to stop the promoting of the saints of God moving forward in his grace, moving forward in his glory. He's trying to stop, cut all of that off. He's trying to keep you busy about what's going on in your life, what you got going on. It's too big for God. Well, Lord, I can't think right now. I got all of this stuff. Joseph could have had all this stuff on his mind. What they did to me back then, they took my coat, they lied to my daddy, they did all this stuff. What can I can't think right. The devil trying to throw you off. He's trying to keep your mind busy on all these other things. Where God is trying to bring your mind in to where there is peace. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But in me, you're going to have peace. In him, you're going to have joy. In him, you're going to have happiness. Only in Jesus, there is safety. You ain't got to worry about nothing coming against you, harming you, doing bad to you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, mother. And then Joseph said, unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Nobody's in the place of God. And we ain't got to worry about what the devil does to us. Joseph wasn't worried about what the devil did to him. Threw him in a pit, took his coat, put him in prison, lied on, did wrong. You know, we got to realize, saints of God, that in this life, that like I said, Jesus said that we're going to have tribulation, but in this life, we got to realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, it's this flesh that we think that we're coming against. It's not the flesh and blood. It's but against the principalities and the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. God has given us authority and power over the devil. How many know that you got power over the devil? Yes, the devil got some power, but you got power over the devil. We got to put the devil where he belongs. He said we got to put him under our feet. We got power over the devil. The devil can't do nothing with you. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a destroyer. And all he can do, only way he can destroy you is just deceive you out of what you are. You're a child of the King. And the word is in you. And so he said, look, we don't wrestle against the flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against principalities. You know, we don't. Though we walk in this flesh, Paul said, we walk in it. We don't wrestle against the flesh and blood. We walk in the flesh each and every day. But we don't war after the flesh. We don't fight like we used to fight. Oh, no, we don't. We can't pack the pistols no more. We can't have a switchblade in our back pocket no more. We can't give them choice words that we sometimes feel like giving them. We don't walk like we used to walk. We got to walk in faith. We got to walk in the spirit. He said, though we walk in this flesh, we don't war in the flesh. For the weapons that we carry now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Oh, no, they ain't the natural wars. They ain't the natural weapons no more. We got a weapon that the devil is afraid of. He ain't afraid of your gun. He ain't afraid of your switchblade. He ain't afraid of your mouth. Only way he's afraid of your mouth is what's going to come out of it. If you're going to speak the word. He said, look, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. How they are mighty. How the word that we speak is mighty is powerful. It's fearsome because it's coming from God. We are praying to God. When we get on our knees and begin to cry out to God, the devil fears. He trembles. He shakes. The devil is scared when you get on your knees. But as long as you up, laying in your bed, oh, woe is me, rolling around, thinking about what I'm going to do next, how I'm going to do it, Lord. But when you get on your knees, that devil don't want you on your knees because how I know everything is going to come to your mind that you forgot to do. I got to do this and I got to do that. Oh, I need to do this and I need to do that. The devil don't want you down on your knees because he know when the saints begin to pray, when we get to crying out to God, God going to start moving. I got to go down there and see about my children. But if they ain't crying out to me, then they must be all right. If they ain't crying out, that everything must be okay. But when you start to cry out, it ain't all about yourself. When you start to cry out, the God of the heavens begin to move. He began to dispatch angels. Go down and see what she want. Go down and see what he want. Go see what's wrong with that brother. Go see what's wrong with that sister. Go and see about my children. When your kids get to crying, you just sit there. I got to go and see why my baby crying. You know, I got to go and see. I hear they cry. God heard they cry in Egypt. I got to go down and see them. I hear my children crying. I got grandkids running around. I hear them knock over something in another room. I can't be still. I jump up, run in there. Are you all right? I hear them crying. Even though they might be with mama and daddy, I'm going to open up the door. Are they all right? How much better than God than I am? You know, God wants to know what's going on with his kids. He wants to know. And the only way you're going to know, you got to get down and cry out to God. You got to pray, because our weapons, they are mighty through God, only through God, to the pulling down of every stronghold, God. Every stronghold. Now, we are in a stronghold. We are in God's stronghold. We are safe. But the devil got some folk in some strongholds out there. There's some people caught up in their minds. There's some people caught up in prison. There's some people just caught up. They are in the stronghold. And the only way that we can get them out of them strongholds is by prayer. It's by prayer, pulling down every stronghold, the Bible says, and cast it down every what? Everything that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. There's some people out here think they know it all. You know, you got all these books. You ought to read so-and-so book. Read that book. Read it. Go over there and let so-and-so tell you. Huh? God said he's going to bring it into captivity. He said, look, the weapons that I war for, they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of every stronghold, casting down the imaginations. The devil imagined all kind of stuff against you. He imagined all this stuff against Joseph. He meant it for your bad. The devil don't mean you no good. He'll tell you a few things that sound like the scripture. It might be part of the scripture, but not all of the scripture. He'll come looking real good in a suit, in a tight dress. But the devil meant it for your bad. He's trying to take you to hell. He's trying to lead you to destruction. But God always turns it around and work it out for your good. He said he's going to pull down, cast down the imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and also bring it into captivity. Every thought, everybody think they got that right thought, every thought into the obedience of Christ. We need our minds captivated. We need our minds brought in to the captivity of Christ. We need to think like Jesus thinks. We need to be like Jesus. We need to have that mind of Christ. God said he's going to restore his people. God is going to restore this year. I believe God is going to restore. It seems like God is restoring already. During this time, it's like a famine, like when Joseph was taken care of. It seemed like the whole country, because he obeyed God. But during this time, the jobs are abundance. They say food is scarce, but I don't think none of us going without no food over here. People, bills are still getting paid. Even in all of this stuff that's going on, God is taking care of his people. God always going to take care of his people. David said when he was young, when he was old, he never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. But have you been out there with a sign? Have you been asking people, can you have this? Can I have that? Do you got this? I ain't got this. I ain't got that. You ain't got to ask. Somebody come and tell you, here, I want to give you this. And you be needing it. But God don't want you out there begging. He don't want you looking like you are a pauper. He wants you to know who you are. You're a child of the King, of the Most High God. Joseph was a child of the King, of the Most High God. Joseph knew who he was. He knew whose he was. Paul knew who he was. David knew who he was. Not what they used to be. Don't let the devil put your past on you and press you out. A lot of us used to be. Paul says such was some of you. You were doing all this kind of stuff. That's why we judge nothing before his time, because God, only God is the judge. He knows the end results. He knows what you're going to turn out to be. Whether you know it or not, God already know in the, he knew at the beginning what you was going to be in the end. God already knew it. So what the devil meant for evil, God, he's going to turn around and work it out for your good. Joel 2:25 says, and I will restore to you the years. How many had some years taken from them? I had some years taken from me. He said the years that the locust and had eaten up, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. He says, I'm going to restore all those years that the devil has taken things from you. I'm going to restore them. I'm going to give them back to you. I don't know about nobody else. I'm ready for my recompense. I'm ready for God to pay me back from the devil. What the devil did to me, you know, I'm ready for it, God. I pour down, open up the windows of heaven and pour it out to me. He said, I'm going to restore the years. Joseph was in prison for years. It seemed like some of us have just been stuck in a place for years, not knowing what to do, not knowing what we're going to do, not knowing where to go. Lord, I don't even know what type of field that I want to go in. Some people feel like, I don't even know what type of work is out there that I would like to do. God knows what he wants you to do. All you got to do is ask him, Lord, okay, wherever you lead me, I'll follow. Just tell me where I need to go. That's where I'm going to say, Lord, whatever you say, do. That's what I want to be doing. Whatever he says, I'm going to restore the years that the canker worms and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, he said, and my great army which I sent among you. God sent some things to work some stuff out in us. God sent this stuff. He sent the devil. He said the prince of the world has come now. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Don't be scared of the devil. The devil can't do nothing with you. He can't cross the bloodline. If you covered under the blood of Jesus, that's why love ain't nothing like the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again when I fall? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As long as I'm under the blood of Jesus, as long as I'm covered with the blood of Jesus, nothing can cross the blood of Jesus. The devil can stand there and bark and growl all he want all day long, but he can't cross the blood. Now, he can't do nothing with you. You are untouchable by the devil. And when he's allowed to put his hands on you, he can only put them on you softly. He can't take your soul. God wants to restore you. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Brittany. So here it is. Joseph standing in a place where he's the second man. But he has to answer to Pharaoh. Here it is. Jesus down here standing. But he said, I got to go to my father. I can't do nothing unless my father say so. I can't say nothing. I can't do nothing unless I hear my father. I do what I see my father do. I have to go to the father. And Jesus, here we are standing in his stead. We're standing in the Lord's stead. He said, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. God wants you to recognize who you are in him. Joseph had to recognize who he was. He knew who he was. His brothers, his family, they had to recognize who Joseph really was. We got to know that the God that created the heavens and the earth, he lives inside of us. And because he lives, we live. We can face the things that we're facing today. Don't let nothing press you out of measure. Don't let no trial, no test get the best of you. Our faith is supposed to get the best of every trial, every test. Your faith is supposed to outlast your test. It's got to outlast the trial. Your faith, that's what the Lord is looking for. Who's got faith in me? When I return, well, I find faith. Faith. Faith, faith, faith. Faith is a grain of a mustard seed. Whatever message that you got, God wants you to use it. So God is going to restore. I believe God is going to promote. In these hard, in these tough times with jobs, where they say people can't get a good job. There's some good jobs out there. I've been trying my best to get people hired on at the water company. You know, guys are getting hired on, but they're quitting because they can't get off the weekend. I mean, they say they need maybe 100 people. Can't find nobody. But don't tell me there ain't no jobs. Don't tell me God ain't good. God is good even in a pandemic. Don't tell me God ain't good. Even in hard times where people say where there ain't, there isn't. Where there isn't, there's always is. Because there's God. Because God always has been. So look out, saints of God. Look for your restoration. Restoration in your body. Restoration in your mind. Restoration in your family. I'm receiving the restoration in my family. I'm receiving the restoration in my body. In my mind. My mind is going to line up with this word. It's going to think right. It's going to think positive. And it's going to bring forth, so shall a man thinketh, so shall he be. You got to think right. God is trying to restore us to where we're supposed to be. The children of the Most High God. God bless you this morning. God wants to restore. Anybody need a restoring this morning? Whether it be salvation, restoring in your mind, restoring in your body. Anybody need to stand in the gap for somebody? God wants to restore. It's not us. It's God. All we're going to do is go to the Father in the name of Jesus. And he's going to supply every need. He's going to answer every prayer. We just got to believe him. Know that God loves you. Know that God is turning things around and working it out for your good, because all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord, to those who are the call. I don't know about you, but I believe my call. And I believe he called. Who are the call? Are you the call? Not the calls, but are you the call? I'm the call. God ain't through with us yet. He ain't through with you yet. You got a long walk ahead of you. And know that you are not walking alone. God is with you this morning. And he shall supply. He shall restore. He shall give back. He's going to give it back to you 100-fold. Watch and see. Don't God restore. Look for your restoration. Look for your restoration this week. Look for it. Nobody need prayer. God bless you this morning. Nobody need prayer. You all continue to pray my strength in the Lord. The children. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she does. Okay. Okay. And also, we're going to keep in mind to pray for our children, too, because they're starting back to school. And we hear so much that's going on in these schools, but we're going to look for God to protect them and keep them, and not our children only, but the children of the world. You know, we're fortunate. We're blessed. We haven't heard that over here. You know, so we just thank the Lord. Come on, let's stand and pray for our pastor to give her a speedy recovery. Deliverance. Stretch your hand toward heaven. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, you see the love for your servant, oh God. And we know, Father God, if we love her, Father God, us being evil know how to give good gifts, Lord, how much more the Father, which is in heaven, will give unto us. So, Father, we ask, Father God, for our pastor this morning, God, that you give her a speedy recovery, Lord God. Father, we rebuke, Father God, this COVID, Lord God. And we ask, Father God, that you restore her breathing, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. God, let it return the same, Father God, as you have put it in the beginning, Lord. And we pray, God, that you will strengthen her, God, today, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let her know, Father God, that even though, God, that she's going through, Father God, that the promotion, God, is in route, God. We believe, Father God, that there is a promotion for her, God. Oh, God, you promised to bear her up, God, and down to her old age, Lord. And God, we're looking for your word to come to pass, God, to be manifested, God, in her, Lord. And we just thank you for it, God. And we lift her up, God. We undergird her with prayer, God, in the name of Jesus. But most of all, God, we undergird her with love, God. Because we know, God, that love lifted us, Lord. And we believe that that same love, God, will lift her up, Father. And we pray, God, for the children, God, not just our children, but the children of the world, God, that's going to be returning to school, Lord. God, we pray that you will keep them, Lord. We pray for their safety, Father God. We ask, God, that you'll protect them, God, from all predators, God. Protect them, Father God, from those, God, that will come in and do harm to them, Lord. Protect them, Father God, from the bullies, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask that you will look on them, Father God. Let this be a prosperous year for them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let greatness, oh God, rise up in them children, Father God. We believe, God, that you have apostles, oh God. We believe that you, God, you have prophets, oh God, preachers and teachers, oh God, musicians, oh God, Lord, that's lying dormant in those children, Father. So we ask, God, that you will be with them, God. Protect them, Father God. Every weapon, God, that is formed against them, Lord, God, you said they will not prosper. And so we believe your word, God, and we thank you, Father God, for the service today, God. And we ask, God, oh God, as we leave this place, God, and from one another, but never from your presence, we ask that you protect us, God. Keep us, Lord. Bring us back to point of time. In Jesus' name, amen.